So today, our focus is on our whole series of the Orange Strategy, which I'll be talking about a little bit in the sermon as well, but today our focus is on family. When I say the word family, think about, you don't have to say out loud, but think about what images are coming to your mind as I say family. For some of you, maybe it's a positive memory or a positive image. Others, maybe not as positive. Maybe you're thinking about your own family. Maybe you're thinking about somebody else's family. Maybe you're thinking about a lack of family. There's all sorts of different things that are coming to our minds when we hear the word family. God has designed us to operate best within a family. That's the way God designed it. I mean, from Adam and Eve forward, we see that. So when the family is broken, the family system is messed up, we struggle to operate at our best. We see that a lot. There's evidence of it all around, right? It's hard to function well when the family is broken. But there's good news today because Jesus has come to amplify, that's the word we're using, amplify family. He's come to take the idea of family to another level. So whether you come from a great family or a really tough, challenging family, the good news about what Jesus is teaching us today is that there's something greater about family than just the biological family. So let's listen first, before we start talking more about it, to what Jesus does say. In this particular passage we're looking at is Matthew chapter 12. We're reading verses 46 to 50. Before we read, let's pray. Holy God, we humble ourselves before you once again, and we submit ourselves to your word today. We pray that it might work on us. Through your Holy Spirit, Lord, touch us with these words today. Teach us. Change our hearts, change our minds, change our very lives. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, this is Jesus after he's had quite an interchange with some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law. This is what happens. While he was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you." But to the one who had told him this, Jesus replied, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Jesus is teaching, as he often did, and his mom and his brothers show up. But he doesn't respond quite like we might think. Jesus actually doesn't run to mom and the brothers. He responds quite differently. He says, "Those are not my only mother and brothers. I am here with my mother and brothers, right here with my disciples, with the ones who are following me." He says, "In fact, anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." Jesus amplifies the idea of what a family is. He says, those who are following me, they are my family. So Jesus is not denying the existence of his mother and brother, his actual biological family. They're included in all this too, but he says, my family is bigger than just that. It extends beyond the biological limitation. It's all who believe in me, all who follow me. So the rule for how you become part of the family is no longer a blood relation, but it's based on whether or not you follow the Father in heaven. We who believe in Jesus Christ all become part of the same family. If you've been around the church very long, you hear us talking about being brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not just words, but actually we are part of the same family as Jesus describes it right here. So all of a sudden, our family has gotten a lot bigger, right? Whether you come from a big family or a small family, it's a lot bigger now when we look at it like Jesus talks about family here. But it's not just, Jesus doesn't just amplify family by making it a bigger size. You know, my family was four people, now it's a bunch. It's more than just the numbers that Jesus is talking about here too. Jesus has a lot to say about how this amplified family works day to day. What it looks like, how we treat each other, what we do with each other. So what Jesus is calling us to here in this amplified view of family is much more than what we typically find in the biological family, right? It's more than just sending mom a Mother's Day card and having a happy birthday or just living under the same roof. There's more that Jesus is wanting from this amplified family. He wants us to take the very best of what we do in our biological families. Some of us have that experience in our own, some of us don't. But Jesus wants us to take the very best of what goes on in the biological family and apply it to the whole family, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. The story of the paralytic man, I think, gives us a good illustration of exactly what Jesus is talking about. Okay? So Jesus is teaching in a house. They're usually, in that day, pretty small. So 50 people would probably fill up the house and spill out. And so they come with the paralyzed man, which we got to see a very good picture of today. Thank you, Larry. And children. They come with the paralyzed man on the mat, these four guys carrying him. And you know the rest of the story. They can't get in. They go up on the roof, all that. So my question is, I want us to think a minute. Who are these guys? Well, it just says four people. It doesn't tell us who they are. It doesn't tell us where they came from, why they did what they did. So we're left to kind of assume. But my guess is they're not biological family because the scripture doesn't tell us that it's family. Or it's not his biological family. So I'm left to assume it's probably not biological family, some kind of friends. I don't think they're strangers. I don't think strangers would have had that kind of commitment that it takes to get him where they did. I don't think strangers would have done that. So what I'm getting to here is I think it was friends. That this man had four friends. My guess is that this was not the first place they carried him. I actually think they probably carried him all around. Wherever he depended on people to get him anywhere, right? On his mat. He was completely dependent on others to help him. Now, where was his family? Why weren't they doing it? I don't know. I mean, we could come up with all kinds of reasons. But these four guys showed up and they helped him and they were committed. The crowd was blocking them completely from getting in. They couldn't bring him because, you know, like if you're one person by yourself, you can kind of go like this. But with four guys and a mat, there's no way they can get in. They could have easily said, well, we tried. Sorry, bub. Maybe next time Jesus comes, we'll get here early enough. But they didn't stop there. They said, oh, no problem. There's nobody on the roof. Let's go up there. And they get up on the roof and they dig through the roof. Now, it's different from the kinds we have today. So it's like that's, you know, rebuilding the roof is not as big of a deal for them. But it's still a big hole in the roof, right? So they dig a hole and they drop him right at Jesus' feet. They were not deterred by the obstacles that were before them. They were committed to helping their friend. The point being, that's the kind of friend that becomes a family in this amplified view of family. I have some friends who adopted a couple of special needs children. They're living in another country, not in the U.S., and at first, they just took these two kids into their home because they were little bitty, and they didn't have anywhere else to go, and they were in critical, terrible shape. They took them in like anybody would if they were faced with something like that. They took them in, and it was temporary. You know, we'll take them in, nurse them back to health, and then we'll get them where they belong, you know, somewhere else. They didn't have a plan, but this was temporary. And as my friend describes it, this, as long as they looked at it as being temporary, then these children were not their long-term commitment. They were doing what they could to take care of the day-to-day needs, but the bigger picture needs, the bigger stuff they were leaving aside, because someday these little kids would be somewhere else. And maybe somebody who's better equipped to handle it. And where they live, there's not many resources for things like this. And as she was telling me about this, she said, it wasn't until one day when God finally got a hold of us and showed us that these kids are yours. And when they finally, in their minds, you know, it clicked. We're going to take these kids into our family. Now, they have four other kids, two of whom are also special needs children, six kids altogether. I mean, this is a huge commitment in a place where very few resources exist to help outside the family. But they took these kids in as their very own, and they've adopted them. And she said when they did that, well, then they could fully love them and care for them and take them in as they should. But as long as they looked at it as being just a temporary commitment thing over here, they weren't really part of the family. And that's the kind of thing, that's the amplified family I think Jesus is talking about. That's how we treat each other, that kind of commitment. This is how family is supposed to operate. It doesn't matter the odds or the obstacles before us, we stick with family. So the friends of this paralytic guy did that. They stuck with him, and they took him to Jesus. They took him to the one who could help him. None of the friends could heal the paralyzed man, but they took him to Jesus who could heal him. When family is operating like God has designed us to operate, we take each other before Jesus. Maybe we're not in need of a miraculous healing just like the paralyzed guy, but all of us need Jesus. And so we take each other before Jesus in this amplified family. So the message today is a whole lot bigger than me telling you you ought to just take somebody into under your roof in your home and expand your family. And adopt a kid, or maybe take in foster children. Those things are all great. And if that's what God's telling you to do today, then don't let me get in your way. But there's more that I want us to think about today than just that. This is actually a message, a challenge for our church, this amplified family that meets here on Sundays. We've talked a lot, hopefully you've heard at least some of it, about Orange. And it's not just that during the fall our pastors are going to wear some orange ties and maybe socks every once in a while, or you know, there's more orange things around the church. It's not pumpkins. Like, there's more to it than just that. The whole idea of Orange, I'm going to make the super quick special short explanation here. Orange is a mixture of two colors. Anybody know the two colors? Red and yellow, right? So over here you have yellow. Yellow represents the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? The light of the gospel is yellow, and we typically keep that in the church over here, right? Then there's the family. The love of the family is red, represented by red. That's over here. Separately, they can only go so far. The idea of orange is bringing the yellow of the gospel and the red of the family together to make orange. When we do that, the impact can be so much greater. So we get an orange concept of family from Jesus in these two passages that we're looking at today. Our church is no longer a collection of a bunch of separate families. We are one family. So you are my brothers and sisters. That's how that works. We could legitimately all just go out to eat after lunch all together. We're all one family, one party of 75. Or, you know, if we take the folks over in the sanctuary service, we could really overwhelm a big restaurant, right? Essentially, I mean, really, after this sermon, that's what we're going to do here at this table. That's what that represents, a meal of the family together. That's what Jesus is talking about. It's not just fluffy language that we want you to learn how to talk about orange or talk about the amplified family. It's actually we want it to be a different way of operating here in the church. So what that means is if we're all family, we have this deep commitment that we see in the friends of the paralytic. We have this deep commitment to each other. It means, like, if your biological grandchildren live far away or great-grandchildren are out of town, you have other grandchildren right here in the church that you can invest in on a regular basis. Not leaving your biological ones behind, but amplifying the family. It means if you maybe sleep at a house by yourself each night, you shall not be overcome with loneliness because you have a family. Even if we're sleeping in different houses at night, we're still part of a bigger family. It means that that we actually want our children and our youth to have volunteers surrounding them in the ministries of our church family, people who have some gray hair, maybe no hair. People who are older, investing in the younger ones. There's beautiful pictures of how this is working around our church. The women's Bible study, they got started particularly because the younger women wanted some of the older women who are experienced in following Jesus to invest in them, to teach them, to show them the way. That's what we're talking about. We're not just talking about getting everybody in the same location, but actually interacting, helping each other, growing in relationships, and seeing what God will do with that. Just like the friends of the paralyzed man took him into the presence of Jesus, that's what we're talking about with our amplified family, to take each other into the presence of Jesus, to show each other what Jesus looks like each and every day. Some of us are further along the path than others. So the ones who are further along the path help the ones who are behind. Say, oh yeah, this is the way. It comes this way. Yeah, don't go off that way. I tried that, didn't work. Come this way. And we help each other follow Jesus. It just makes sense, right? You've never been somewhere before. So you talk to somebody who's been there to get some information about it. That's all we're talking about here. Helping each other along. That, you know, when we baptize people, that's exactly what we're committing to. Whether it's a child or an adult up here, yeah, they're professing their faith, but at the same time, the church is making a commitment to help them as they walk with Jesus, to help them along that path. That's what the family is here for. If somebody in your family gets lost, can't find their way on the path, well, you don't just say, oh, man, that's too bad. We'll just have to leave them behind. We don't leave our kids behind at the mall, right? I mean, maybe we want to some days, but we wouldn't actually really do it like for a long time. We help them. We help them find, no, it's this way. It's this door. we help those along the path. That's the way family works. So I want you to think about this morning. What is God showing you about your view of family? What part of your view of family needs to be amplified by Jesus? Maybe it's somebody you need to reach out to and say, hey, come, be a part of the family. Inviting somebody in to a family that you're a part of, biological or otherwise. Maybe it's something like that. Or maybe you need the family. Maybe there's a family you need to be a part of. You need some help. Maybe you're that person that's struggling with the loneliness, needing help along the path or something like that. Well, that's not selfish for you to need to be part of a family. That's the way God has wired you from the very beginning. It's not selfish. That's exactly what God wants you to do. So pray and ask God how that can work. I don't know the exact situations that everybody's dealing with, but pray. See what God will do to help you find a family to be a part of. When we think about family, family is the ones we're stuck with, right? I mean, it doesn't matter what I do. My mom is my mom, right? And there's no simple way to just walk out on a family, right? When that happens, it's actually quite complicated, a big mess. There's laws that regulate sometimes that whole thing, right? We're stuck with our family. That's the kind of commitment that we're looking for in the amplified family. We're stuck with each other. Now, nobody's got a perfect family, and nobody has a family full of perfect people. We mess up all the time, and we ought to expect that to be the case. But it doesn't allow us to just, oh, yeah, he's not part of the family anymore. We don't get to do that. That's the commitment Jesus is looking for. So no matter the difficulties, no matter the obstacles, I want to encourage you today to go for it. Find who is it that you need to welcome in, or who needs to welcome you in? How does that look? What does it look like to amplify your view of family and do it to God's glory? Amen.